الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه واقتفى أثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. This is our seventh sitting. Today is the 11th day of Ramadan of the year 1446, corresponding to the 11th of March 2025. This will be our second majlis in Surah Al-Baqarah. Yes, we have already recited the first five verses. We've already had the recitation of the first five verses. So we were on the tafsir of Alif Lam Mim, the meaning of the disjointed letters, the al-huruf al-muqatta'a. Naam? Okay. So we will answer some questions. Inshallah. Okay. The first question says, please check what could be the solution if a person found himself during Jum'ah prayer after the second adhan was called and his ablution invalid, and buying and selling were prohibited, and there is no water which is free except for sachet water. What can I do in that condition? Okay, yes, he is in a situation whereby he is unable to get water except by buying. And buying and selling are prohibited after the second adhan. So what does he do? Well, definitely the verse of the Quran is very clear. Allah says, وَذَرُّ الْبَيْعَ, and leave trading, leave transactions, consummating transactions, so you cannot engage in buying and selling when the second adhan on the day of Jum'ah is called. So what he will do is to go and search for water elsewhere, where he can get water without buying. Although there are some scholars that say that this is an insignificant transaction. It's not like a transaction that will keep you away from attending Jum'ah. Yes, it could not keep the buyer away, but the seller, because he is busy selling, he is definitely not paying attention to go and pray Jum'ah. So all his attention is towards selling his little merchandise. So even in such a situation, the buyer should not patronize someone who is in an act of disobedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he should go and get water elsewhere, because as we know, the qaida, the rule is, إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ الْحَاضِرُ وَالْمُبِيحُ قُدِّمَ الْحَاضِرُ. When an act of prohibition and an act of permission, when they come together, then the one that is given prominence is the act of prohibition. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. If I order you, if I command you to do something, you do it within your ability. But when I prohibit you to commit something, then you should leave it. So here, because there is prohibition and there is command. The prohibition is to turn out, is to leave business transactions. And this is a business transaction. And the command is to go and pray Jum'ah. So to go and pray Jum'ah, you need to get all the conditions right, which is by performing ablution. So you have to go and perform ablution. And normally ablution is not tayammum, which is the alternative to ablution in situation where you don't get water. You don't do tayammum in order to be able to pray a congregational prayer. In order to pray a prayer in congregation, you only do tayammum if you don't have water, if you are afraid that the time of the prayer will elapse. That is when you do tayammum instead of ablution. So we cannot say in such a situation this person should perform ablution. What he should do is to go and search for water without buying, without engaging in buying. Allah Ta'ala a'lam. And the second question, how can someone have his level of iman increased? I was reading a lot of philosophical writings about God, religion as an invention to have control and so on. In the end, I felt the firmness of faith is slipping away. Yes, you should you should strengthen yourself with true knowledge. True knowledge is you read the Quran with reflection, and also you read the explanation of the Quran, the commentaries on the Quran by the people of the Sunnah, the people of the Ahlus Sunnah, the people that are firmly that are firm in knowledge. And you don't engage yourself in philosophy without having the requisite knowledge of the true religion. Otherwise, you will only have distortions. Because philosophy is excellent in raising doubts and bringing misconceptions. And the only way to address these misconceptions is by true knowledge. So if you don't have access to true knowledge, don't put yourself in danger by reading shubhat, reading misconceptions. Your iman is the most valuable thing for you in this life. It is the most valuable thing for you in this life, your iman. So you shouldn't put it in danger. You should not put it in a situation whereby it will be slipping away from you. And one of the causes of it slipping away from you is by engaging yourself in hearing or reading or listening to shubuhat, misconceptions and distortions of faith. And the only way to address that is through true knowledge. So if you know that you don't have access to true knowledge, or you don't have scholars that you can always ask when you read about a shubha, then you should avoid reading the shubuhat. But read the Quran a lot, because reciting the Quran, it increases iman. Allah says, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when the verses of the Quran are recited to them, it increases them in iman. The third question, which is the final question, if the Prophet was able to grow his hair, why do we as black people with our own hair issues make it difficult or even outrightly prohibit people from dreadlocks or our men growing their hair? There is nothing wrong with growing the hair, but putting on dreadlocks is not is something else. Because putting on dreadlocks, it is disapproved, because you are following the pattern of a people that are not people of faith, that are not people of iman, and it has become a symbol of their own religion, and the Rastas, that is the symbol of their religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fa huwa minhum." Whoever copies or mimics a people, then he becomes one of them. You will be counted as a Rastafari when you start doing that. And it is ugly. It is ugly because most people, they see people who are doing like that, that they are not people, they are not composed people, and they are not responsible, they are not people of etiquette. So, but growing the hair is something else. Growing the hair is permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to leave his hair to grow. When it is when it has reached its full extent, it reaches to his shoulders, and sometimes it stays between the lobes of his ear and his shoulders. So the there is nothing wrong with growing the hair. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, if Allah has given somebody hair, then he should beautify it. He should falyukrimhu. He should honor the hair. He should honor it by taking care of it, not leave it disheveled, or to do to grow dreadlocks out of that, because that is not takrim. That is not honoring the hair that Allah has given you. So, alhamdulillah. Ayyakum. So today we are starting on statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ هُوَ هُنَا الْقُرْآنِ. Here it is the Qur'an. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. Al-Kitab, it means the Qur'an. So it is one of the names of the Qur'an. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابَ. Al-Kitab here is the Qur'an. So even here, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. That is the book. So the book is Al-Qur'an. That is why it is regarded as one of the names of Al-Qur'an, the book. So the definite article, the, in Al-Qur'an, Al-Kitab, is Al-Ahdiyah. That specifies what is known. So it is the book that you all know about, which is the book revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقِيلَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Another tafsir says that it is the Torah and the Gospel. That is ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, that book. Maybe because it was the Ismul Ishara, the article that says that is what makes them feel that it is referring to the books before, which are the Torah and Al-Injil. But this is the Waqila Allahul Mahfud. Another interpretation says that the meaning of Al-Kitab here is Allahul Mahfud. That is the protected slate. Allahul Mahfud is the slate that is with Allah, the Ummul Kitab, the book that contains all the decrees of Allah, from the beginning of creation to the end of creation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first thing that Allah created was the pen, al-qalam. Then Allah instructed the qalam. He commanded the qalam, uktub, said write. And it said, what should I write? He said, write all the decree, everything that will happen. It is also called Ummul Kitab. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Allah erases what He likes and He confirms. And the source of the book is with Him. That is Ummul Kitab. It is also called Lawhul Mahfuz. So it is not the Quran, but the Quran is in the Lawhul Mahfuz. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. It is the mighty Quran that is in the protected slate. وهو الصحيح الذي يدل عليه سياق الكلام. The first tafsir, which is Al-Quran, is the authentic meaning that the flow of the statements in this chapter they indicate to that. ويشهد له مواضع من القرآن, and several portions in the Quran testify to it. والمقصود منها, the purpose of this sentence, إثبات أن القرآن من عند الله. That is affirming that the Quran is from Allah. كقوله تنزيل الكتاب لا ريب فيه من رب العالمين. As Allah said in the opening of Surah Al-Sajdah, revelation of the book, the revelation of the book in which there is no doubt from the Lord of the worlds. This is a revelation of the book in which there is no doubt from the Lord of the worlds. يعني القرآن باتفاق. In that verse, in Surah Al-Sajdah, there is no other opinion. All opinions, they are in agreement that what is meant in that verse, in Surah Al-Sajdah, is the Quran. وَخَبَرُ ذَلِكَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. The predicate of ذَلِكَ is لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. So it's assuming that ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, that book, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There is no doubt in it. That book, that is the Quran. So the predicate, la raiba fi, there is no doubt in it. So in that case, you will recite ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. So it becomes a nominal sentence, a noun clause. وَقِيلَ خَبَرُهُ الْكِتَابُ. It is said that the predicate is الْكِتَاب, the book. So the mubtada, the subject is ذَلِكَ. And the predicate is Al-Kitab. So you are saying That is the book. This is a complete sentence.
Mm-hmm.
That is the book. So, la rayba fi, it will be a different sentence.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt in that. There is no doubt in the fact that that is the book of revelation. فَعَلَى هَذَا ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ جُمْلَةٌ مُسْتَقِلَّةٌ فَيُوقَفُ عَلَيْهِ. So on this, the ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ is a complete sentence, and you can stop at the end of that sentence. You will say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. لا ريب فيه أي لا شك فيه. There is no doubt in لا شك أنه من عند الله في نفس الأمر في اعتقاد أهل الحق. That is, there is no doubt that it is from Allah in the real sense, in the belief of the people of truthfulness. The people of truth, they know that, so there is no doubt in that. ولم يعتبر أهل الباطل. No consideration is given to the people of error. The people of error, they do not believe that it is, there is no doubt in it. They have their doubts. So the elimination of doubt is with respect to the people of truth. وَخَبَرُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ وَخَبَرُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ فَيُوقَفُ عَلَيْهِ. And the وَخَبَرُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that is the predicate of لَا رَيْبَ is فِيهِ. فَيُوقَفُ عَلَيْهِ. So you make a stop there. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That is the nominal sentence. There is no doubt in it. So there is no doubt is the subject. فِيهِ is the khabar, is the predicate. There is no doubt in it. وَقِيلَ خَبَرُهَا مَحْذُوفٌ فَيُوقَفُ عَلَى لَا رَيْبَ. Another interpretation of that is that the predicate is deleted. The predicate is omitted, so you stop at la rayb. Dalika al-kitab, la rayb. There is no doubt. So there is no doubt. Where is the predicate? That is, there is no doubt about that. Without saying fihi, so you start from fihi. Dalika al-kitab, la rayb. فيه هدى للمتقين. والأول أرجح. But the first interpretation is stronger. It is راجح. It is the stronger of the opinions. لتأينه في قوله لا ريب في مواضع أخرى. Because in other places in the Quran, this is what is mentioned, la rayba fihi, like in the first verse of Suratul As-Sajda. فَإِنْ قِيلَ فَهَلَّا قُدِّمَ قَوْلُهُ فِيهِ عَلَى الرَّيْبِ كَقَوْلِهِ لَا فِيهَا غَوْلٌ. If it is said, why not that, why didn't the statement start with fihi before la rayb? Fihi la rayb. As it says in the statement of Allah, la fiha ghawlun. Why not to say la fihi rayb? La fihi rayb. Like it says, la fiha ghawlun. He said, فَالْجَوَابْ أَنَّهُ إِنَّمَا قُصِدَ نَفِيُ الرَّيْبِ عَنْهُ. The intention is to negate any doubt regarding the Quran. وَلَوْ قُدُّمَ فِيهِ لَكَانَ إِشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ ثَمَّ كِتَابٌ آخَرٌ فِيهِ رَيْبٌ. If it was mentioned, if the mention of al-rayb was done in the beginning, la fihi, the mention of fihi, if it is said la fihi rayb, then it will be an indication that there is another book in which there is a doubt. When you say la fihi rayb, in it there is no doubt. So as though you are saying that in other than it, there could be a doubt. And that is not the intention. كَمَا أَنَّ لَا فِيهَا غَوْلٌ. Like the verse in the in Surah Al-Saffat, لَا فِيهَا غَوْلٌ إِشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ خَمْرَ الدُّنْيَا فِيهَا غَوْلٌ. This is an indication that the the intoxicating drink of the world, that is the beer of the world, the wine of the world, there is ghoul, that is, there is intoxication and intoxication that brings along with it confusion of the mind and pain in the and headache. But the wine of paradise, it doesn't have that. So that was why the fiha was mentioned before the sentence, before the subject. وهذا المعنى يبعد قصده فلا يقدم الخبر. And this meaning, definitely it is clearly it is very distant, that that will be the intention. That is not the intention, because that is the intention of la rayba fihi is not to say that it is in the Quran, in which the doubt is negated in the Quran, but it could be found in other books of revelation, and that is not the intention. Huda huna bima'na al-irshad litakhsisihi bil muttaqin. Hudan lil muttaqin. Huda, guidance. The meaning of huda is al-irshad, that is given guidance, that is a guide, a guideline. Litakhsisihi bil muttaqin, because it is being made specific to the people of taqwa. Walau kana bima'na al-bayan la'amma kaqawlihi hudan linnas. If it was for the intention of explanation, if hudan is explanation, that is making things clear, then it will not be specific, it would have been general. Like Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, hudan linnasi wa bayyinatin minal huda wal furqan. Hudan linnasi, guidance to mankind. Guidance means that it exposes everything for guidance. But when you say hudan lil muttaqin, it is a guidance for the people of taqwa. It means tawfiq, that is the ability to be on the right path, is in the Quran, and that is specific to the people of taqwa. Wa i'rabuhu khabar ibtida'in. Hudan, this is a predicate of a subject. Aw mubtada wa khabaruhu fihi. Or it is a subject, and the predicate is fihi. So it is fihi hudan lil muttaqin. In it, there is a guidance for the people of taqwa. Or you say hudan lil muttaqin, it is a guidance lil muttaqin. So the mubtada is omitted, and the khabar, that is the predicate, it shows you what the mubtada is. Muttaqin. وَإِرَابُهُ خَبَرُ ابْتِدَاءٍ أَوْ مُبْتَدَاءٍ وَخَبَرُهُ فِيهِ إِنْدَمَا يَقِفُ عَلَى لَا رَيْبٍ. Now that is, this is for the second interpretation, is for the one who makes the stop at لَا رَيْبٍ. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبٍ. So فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, it becomes a nominal sentence with hudan to become the predicate, with hudan to become the predicate of, with fihi to be the predicate, the khabar. Aw mansubun ala al-hal, or it is al-hal, that is, it is describing the, it is like an adverb of al-kitab. That is the revelation of the book in, that is, it came as a guidance. So the act of the revelation, it is what is being described as hudan. And definitely, the act of the revelation is guidance. Without revelation, we'll never be guided. So this is the meaning of hal. Hal describes an action. While a sifa, an adjective, it describes a noun. Al-hal describes a verb, which is the adverb. The adjective describes the noun. So when you say hudan lil muttaqin, hal kawnihi hudan lil muttaqin, That is, it describes the revelation in as a guidance for the people of taqwa. وَالْعَامِلُ فِيهِ الْإِشَارَةِ the indication. That is the book. So, I made the amil to be the revelation that is understood from Al-Kitab. But he says that the amil is that. That is the book. So you are describing the ishara, the pointing to the book as a guidance. So the adverb is the source of the verb that is described by hudan, by the adverb, is the ishara, that.
When you said people of taqwa, you mean God fear?
Hey, we are coming to it now. للمتقين مفتعلين من التقوى. It is مفتعل, that is the متقي is مفتعل. مفتعل, that is the source. That is the measure of the word, the wasn. مفتعل. افتعل اتقى, so it is افتعل. So مفتعل. Ta'il is muttaqi. That is the one that is described as having at-taqwa. وَقَدْ تَقَدَّمَ مَعْنَاهُ فِي الْكِتَابِ. And the meaning of it was mentioned in the book. That is in as part of the introduction. الْمُقَدِّمَةُ الثَّانِيَةُ مِنْ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ. That is the second introduction. فَنَتَكَلَّمُ عَنِ التَّقْوَى فِي ثَلَاثَةِ فُصُولِ. Now we are going to talk about taqwa in three chapters. الفصل الأول, the first chapter, في فضائلها المستنبطة من القرآن, the excellence of الفتوى that is derived from the Quran. وهي خمس عشرة, there are 15 excellent points regarding التقوى. الهدى, there is guidance. So تقوى among its excellent attributes is that there is guidance in it, because he says hudan lil muttaqin. Wan nusra, help, victory. Allah has said inna Allah ma'al ladina taqaw. Allah is with those who have taqwa, who have fear of Allah. So by the meaning of Allah being with them is that he gives them help and victory. والولاية, that is protection and love from Allah. والله ولي المتقين. Allah is the protector and the ally, is the protector and the helper and the lover of the people of taqwa. والمحبة, that is number four. والمحبة, love. لقوله إن فإن الله يحب المتقين. Then definitely Allah loves the people of taqwa, the people of piety, of God, of fear of God. Wal maghfira, forgiveness, that is number 5. Liqawlihi in tattaqu Allah yaj'al lakum furqanan wa yukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum wa yaghfir lakum. Because Allah says if you fear Allah, then definitely Allah will send will put a criterion or a protecting shield for you. وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, and he will erase your evil acts. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ, and he will forgive you. And he also said وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِ. The one who fears Allah, Allah will erase his evil deeds. That is number 5. Number 6, وَالْمَخْرَجْ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَالرِّزْقِ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Among the excellent qualities of taqwa is that it gives a delivery, a deliverance, that is an opening, freedom min al-gham, from distress and sorrow, and it brings about a risk, sustenance, abundance from Allah, min haythu la yahtasib, from where you don't expect. لِقَوْلِهِ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will put a relief for him and give him abundance and sustain him from where he does not expect. Give him sustenance from where he does not expect. Number seven, Taysirul Umur. That is making ease of affairs. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will put ease in his affairs. Naam.
This meaning of taqwa translated into English as fear. Is it because of the limitations of English language? Because I think the real meaning is far more than just fear.
Yes, because fear is khashya. But the meaning of the fear, it is true, it is the limitation of English language. It is a fear that will lead you to action. Not just a feeling in the heart of fear and awe. No, a fear that gives you protection. That is taking guard of yourself. Placing yourself on guard. Because as Umar radiallahu anhu explained taqwa, he said, have you ever followed a path that is full of thorns? He said, yes. He said, how do you do? He said, I try to hold my cloth and myself so that I don't step on the thorn and the thorn does not hold or scratch my cloth. So you know, that is a kind of fear. You are afraid that you will step on the thorn or your cloth will be torn by the thorns, by the thorn bush. So that is not an ordinary fear. It is taking guard of yourself, keeping guard, placing yourself on alert, and not actually placing yourself on alert, but being very careful so that you don't do the wrong thing. So that is the meaning of taqwa, the extreme care which you show so that you don't bring upon yourself the wrath of Allah. That is taqwa. Because it is from wiqaya. Al-wiqaya is protection. Al-wiqaya is protection. Waqina adhab an-nar. Protect us from the torment of the hellfire. It is from wiqaya. So, at-taqwa is from protection. That is a fear that protects you.
Some translated to God consciousness.
Yes, to be conscious of God. It is also, there is nothing that is equivalent to it in the English language. Yes. It's as His Excellency said, that it is due to the limit of the English language. And definitely, you know, even the Arabic language itself was developed by Islam, by the revelation of the Quran. Because some words, even though they had the original meaning of the literal meaning, but they were given either a wider meaning or a narrower meaning with the coming of Islam. And that is why you have majazun naql. That is the majaz transforming a word into something else. Okay, this will be number 7 or number 8? Number 7. Ghufranu dhunub wa idhamul ujur. Forgiveness of sins and making given great rewards. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُؤْذِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will forgive his sins for you and for him, and he will make his reward immense. That is, he will give him immense reward. وتقبل الأعمال. That is acceptance of deeds. لقوله إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. Because Allah says, Allah only accepts from the people of taqwa. والفلاح, prosperity. To have الفلاح, the meaning of الفلاح, will come to it. Under وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ is prosperity, that is to have what is your utmost goal and desire without having anything to the contrary. لِقَوْلِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Because Allah says, fear Allah so that you will prosper. وَالْبُشْرَى, that is giving, having glad good news, glad tidings. لقوله لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. Allah says, "In Allah, inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun lahum al-bushra." They have glad tidings. Fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah, in the life of this world and in the hereafter. Wa dukhulul jannah, and entering the paradise, entering paradise. لقوله ثم ننجى إن للمتقين عند ربهم جنات النعيم. For the people of taqwa with their Lord is jannat, the gardens of an-na'im, the gardens of an-na'im, yes, an-ni'ma, that is pleasure, the gardens of pleasure. وَالنَّجَاةُ مِنَ النَّارِ, that is the final one. That is deliverance or salvation from hellfire. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, then we will give salvation to the people of taqwa. That is, we will save them from entering hellfire. الْفَصْلُ الثَّانِي, the second chapter, فِي الْبَوَائِثِ عَلَى التَّقْوَى. What are the things that bring about taqwa? The things that lead you to have taqwa. That is al-ba'ith, the motivating things. What motivates you towards having taqwa? Here ashara, there are 10. So there are 10 motivating things, motivating factors of having taqwa. Khawful iqab al-ukhrawi, fear of the chastisement of the hereafter. When you are afraid of being in the punishment of the hereafter, fear of the punishment of the hereafter, that is a motivating factor. That is why the Quran is full of describing the nature, the kind of punishment for those who disobey, who disbelieve or disobey in God. Wa khawful iqab ad-dunyawi, also fear of the evil consequences of in this world, the punishment in this world, because there are acts which you do and you receive the compensation right from this world, like al-had, when you slander a woman, when you do qadhaf, there is had, 80 strokes of the cane. Or sometimes it could be not directly, you know, from the leadership, from the authority. It could come from Allah without you knowing, like denial of your needs, of what you are asking Allah. Allah will not answer your prayer. That is a punishment. Or Allah will take away your wealth. Or Allah will take away your health and well-being. These are all things that can come from not having taqwa, from disobeying Allah. So in order to guard yourself against evil consequences in this life, the evil consequences of disobedience to Allah, you do taqwa. It is a motivating factor, which is what Allah says in Surah Yasin, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ. Fear what is in ahead of you, which is the al-iqab al-ukhrawi, the punishment of the hereafter. وَمَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ, and what is before you, what Allah did with those who disobeyed, who disbelieved, and he destroyed them. That is al-iqab al-dunyawi. He sent upon them various types of punishment that destroyed them. So for fear that such a punishment could come to you, that motivates you to have taqwa. And that is what the prophets, they have been using to warn their people by citing the example of the nations that have been destroyed by Allah. By citing the stories of the people that were destroyed by Allah, that is the al-iqab ad-dunyawi, the punishment of this world. Number 3, raja'u thawab ad-dunyawi, thawab ad-dunyawi, that is your hope to gain the reward, the worldly reward, that makes you have taqwa. Because like you want to have risk, you want to have abundance and sustenance from Allah, have taqwa. Because he said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. So that is a motivating factor. And also you want your prayers to be answered by Allah, have taqwa. وَرَجَاءُ الثَّوَابِ الْأُخْرَوِي. And hope in the reward of the hereafter. Number five, خَوْفُ الْحِسَابِ. Fear of standing up before Allah in reckoning. That is, you will be held to account over your actions. That motivates you to have taqwa. What have I prepared to answer Allah? What will I tell Allah when He asks me, why did you do this? That is khawful hisab. That motivates you to do taqwa. The one who has that kind of feeling, you find him, he keeps his duty to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because he's afraid of hisab. وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. And they are afraid of the bad reckoning. Number six. وَالْحَيَاءُ مِنْ نَظَرِ اللَّهِ. That is being shy from the gaze of Allah upon you. That Allah is looking at you. Are you not ashamed? Don't you feel shy before Allah that you are doing this and Allah is looking at you? So that motivates you to have taqwa. وَهُوَ مَقَامُ الْمُرَاقَبَةِ. That is the station of al-muraqabah. That is putting yourself under guard. Putting yourself under guard. That you are always being scrupulous and feeling that Allah is looking at you. It is always with you. That is muraqabah. وَالشُّكْرُ عَلَىٰ نِعَمِهِ بِطَاعَتِهِ. And also another motivating factor, which is number 8, Kena. Is that number 8?
No.
Or number 7?
Number 7.
That is gratitude over the favors of Allah on you by obeying Him. That is a motivating factor. That is, if you think, if you reflect upon the favors of Allah on you, Allah has guided you, Allah has provided for you, you are in such a terrible situation, you kept praying to Allah and Allah answered his prayer and he gave you deliverance from that situation, then you feel that Allah is entitled to your gratitude. You should be grateful to Allah. And how are you grateful to Allah? Is by obeying him. That is taqwa. So that is a motivating factor. So, you know, there are people who find it easy to be thankful. The people who are thankful to people, they are also thankful to Allah. And there are people who are just by nature ungrateful. So for such people, it is difficult for them to use this as a motivating factor. They have to do a lot of mujahada, a lot of struggle with their inner self. Wal-ilm. The number 8 is al-ilm, knowledge. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَىٰ إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. The only people that fear Allah from among his slaves are the people of knowledge. Are the people of knowledge. And Allah says also, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah and Allah is giving you knowledge. So it shows the connection between taqwa and knowledge. And the more you know Allah, the more you fear him. That is the true knowledge. Not the knowledge of just reading and memorizing. No, the knowledge of the true knowledge of the might and the greatness of Allah. Number 9, ta'zeemu jalalillah. That is magnifying the majesty of Allah, glorifying the majesty of Allah, seeing the majesty of Allah. Allah is mighty, Allah is majestic. Look at the creation of the heavens and the earth. Look at the stars, look at the galaxies. Look at this supreme creation. They are all creations of Allah. And such a being that has done this creation, the majesty that is there, that is his attribute, and he deserves for you to glorify that, to fear him and make that feel the might of his majesty, feeling the might of the majesty of Allah. وَهُوَ مَقَامُ الْهَيْبَةِ. This is the station of Al-Hayba, that is O, that is Hayba. You feel an awe, that is you feel humbled in reflecting upon the majesty. You are filled by fear of his majesty. You know, Al-Hayba is like, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been described as majestic, as filling the hearts of people with awe. There was one woman that was brought to his presence, and when she saw him, she started trembling out of awe. And he said, be lighting upon yourself. Make that feeling to become light. I am only the son of a Quraishi woman who was fond of eating dried meat. So I am an ordinary person. I'm not an angel. I'm not a different creature. I'm a human being, the son of a woman. He said it to calm her. He said, "Hafifi ala nafsi." That is, be calm. Lighten the awe from yourself. That is the meaning of Haiba. You feel that with regards to Allah. You feel the awe of Allah out of magnifying his majesty. And then number 10, the third, Sidqul Mahabba. True love of Allah. True love of Allah. Not just ordinary love. A love that is truth, that is true. لقول القائل, one of the poets said, تأصي الإله وأنت تظهر حبه هذا لعمري في القياس بديع لو كان حبك صادقا لأطعته إن المحب لمن يحب مطيع. Said, you disobey the worshipped God, وأنت تظهر حبه, and you appear to say that you are in love with Allah. That is, you are outwardly showing your love of Allah. هذا لأمري في القياس بديع. This is indeed very strange in analogy. That is, in the intellect, it's very strange. Because how can you love somebody and then you are disobeying him? لو كان حبك صادقا لأطعته. If your love was true, you would obey him. إن المحب لمن يحب مطيع. The lover is obedient to the one he loves. وَلِلَّهِ دَرُّ الْقَائِلِ. And how good is what one of them said. قَالَتْ وَقَدْ سَأَلَتْ عَنْ حَالِ آشِقِهَا لِلَّهِ صِفْهُ وَلَا تَنْقُصْ وَلَا تَزِدِ فَقُلْتُ لَوْ كَانَ يَظُنُّ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ ظَمَئٍ لَوْ كَانَ يَظُنُّ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ ظَمَئٍ وَقُلْتُ قِفْ أَنْ وُرُودِ الْمَاءِ لَمْ يَرِدِ. She said, this is a woman that somebody claimed to love. So she said, وَقَدْ سَأَلَتْ عَنْ حَالِ آشِقِهَا. When she asked about the state of the one who is yearning after her love. Al-ishq is not the love itself. It's yearning for the love. You are always thinking and doing things to attract the attention of the lover. So she was saying, what is his situation, this my lover? لِلَّهِ صِفْهُ. I ask you by Allah, describe him for me. وَلَا تَنْقُصْ وَلَا تَزِدِ. Don't decrease and don't increase. Just tell me the truth, without exaggeration and without a diminution. فَقُلْتُ. So I said to her, in describing the lover, لَوْ كَانَ يَظُنُّ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ ظَمَئِ. If he was thinking that death will come to him from thirst. When if he believes that he's going to die as a result of lack of water, of being thirsty, وَقُلْتُ قِفْ أَنْ وُرُودِ الْمَاءِ, and I told him, stop from going to where you will drink water. لَمْ يَرِدِ, he will not go. do you understand?
Yeah.
He said, this is the extent of his love. If he is aware that he is going to die as a result of not drinking water, of thirst, and he was told, stop, don't go to get that water, he will not go.
By his lover.
Eh?
By his lover.
Now? Now? Try that is the true love. To show you the truth of his love. فقلت لو كان يظن الموت من ظمئي وقلت كيف أن ورود الماء لم يرد. And if the lover told him, كيف, stop, don't go to drink the water, and he knows that unless he goes to drink the water, he will die. He will prefer to die than to disobey the lover. الفصل الثالث. The third chapter, Darajatu Taqwa, the stations, the levels of Taqwa, وَهِيَ خَمْسٌ, there are five stages, there are five steps, five levels of Taqwa. The first one, أَنْ يَتَّقِ الْأَبْدُ الْكُفْرُ وَذَلِكَ مَقَامُ الْإِسْلَامِ, that is where the slave, he is afraid of Al-Kufr, of disbelief. That is the maqam al-Islam. That is the stage of Islam. When you accept Islam, it's because you are afraid of disbelief, of kufr, and what it brings. The second level, أَنْ يَتَّقِ الْمَعَاصِ وَالْحُرْمَاتِ وَهُوَ مَقَامُ التَّوْبَةِ, that is fear, the fear of sins, acts of disobedience, and fear of impermissible things. That is the station of repentance, at-tawbah. That is because the people of repentance, they do repent as a result of the fear of the evil consequences of acts of disobedience and prohibitions. Number three, stage three, أَنْ يَتَّقِ الشُّبُحَاتِ, fear of الشُّبُحَاتِ, that is the things that are not clearly prohibited nor clearly permissible. وَهُوَ مُقَامُ الْوَرَى, this is the level of al-wara, being careful. So you leave what you are not sure, leaving the doubtful things. When you turn away from doubtful things, when you are afraid of committing acts that are doubtful regarding their permissibility or otherwise, that is al-wara. Number four, stage four, أَنْ يَتَّقِي الْمُبَاحَاتِ, for him, he will fear the permissible things, to avoid the permissible things, وَهُوَ مَقَامُ الزُّهُدِ, that is the level of doing without the world, الزُّهُدِ, turning away from the world. You know, a zahid, the one who is doing zuhud, he leaves what is permissible. He doesn't eat to have his fill. He is satisfied with something that is ordinary, very minimal. You know, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw some people of the Ansar. They were renovating their house, and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "We are renovating our house." He said, "I see the hour of the Day of Judgment coming earlier than finishing this work." That is leading them to do zuhud. That is, how can you are thinking, sasa'atul qiyama can come any time, and you have the time to be busy renovating your house. That is zuhud. Because you leave what it is permissible for you to renovate your house, isn't it? Everyone wants to have a beautiful house. But then you leave it because of more important things in your life, in connection to Allah. That is zuhud. That is stage four. Stage 5, أن يتقي حضور غير الله على قلبه. To fear the presence of other than Allah in his heart. To fear that you will be thinking of other than Allah. وهو مقام المشاهدة. That is the station of witnessing. You are always witnessing the presence of Allah. This is the ihsan. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. You worship Allah as though you see him. Because if you don't see him, he sees you. وقوله تعالى الذين يؤمنون بالغيب will stop here إن شاء الله. نعم.
This long detailed explanation of taqwa.
نعم.
But our main subject is taqwa.
نعم.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same chapter Baqara he explained Muttaqun. This is birra al tamim bi al mashriq wal maghrib.
Naam.
In the akhir ayah.
Naam.
In there are people who are regarded as Muttaqun.
Naam.
They pay the cut, all the good things that are mentioned in the chapter. But I don't see anything like that mentioned in this lengthy explanation of the Muttaqun.
Yeah, but even here, the Muttaqun have been described. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. So, you know, المتقون, they have been described in several places in the Quran. Like Allah says, سَارِئُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. He said, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. So these are all qualities that are there in the people of taqwa. And because of the beauty of the Quran, it's not to lump, the Quran is not like a textbook. A textbook where you will be asked to say question A, these are its answers. So he'll gather to you everything, everything about taqwa, they will be gathered in one place and you memorize it. No. Because the description comes with the context. In each context, in each place where taqwa is mentioned, all the attributes, the qualities, the description of the people of taqwa, the al-muttaqun are mentioned. It is in relation to that context. And they are all true. They are all the qualities of Al-Muttaqun. Like in the verse you mentioned, Laysa al-Bir, where Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. That one, you know, it is one of the most comprehensive. But here, in the opening, because it is addressing the Muslims during their first days in Medina, because Al-Baqarah was revealed immediately after the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. So at that time the context is where they are facing the challenge of the people of the book. They are there with the people of the book. So the question of belief in the unseen is very important. Also believe in the Quran and in the other books that were revealed before the Quran is essential. And also believe in the Day of Judgment, because that is the thing, that is the source of eliminating al-nifaq, and also being given out and up to, and establishing prayer. So you normally the context where the verse is, we try to see the context where the description of the muttaqun are given, and we'll see a lot of wisdom. We'll see what Al-Imam Ibn Juzay rahmatullahi alayhi will say regarding the description of the al-muttaqun from our dars. So as I said, inshallah, tomorrow and day after tomorrow, yes, we'll have our dars. Yes, tomorrow is the normal day. Today is Qada'u ala ma fata. And next tomorrow, it will be in place of Friday, because we can't have dars on Friday. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibited us from at-tahalluq, holding circles of durus on Friday, because the wisdom is that every Muslim is expected to prepare himself for the khutbah, and that will be what he will hold for the rest of the week. So anything that will divert his attention or minimize the influence of the khutbah is discouraged. That is why here in this mosque, and I have been saying it, we used to do pre-khutbah, and I kept saying this is prohibited. This kind of act is prohibited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we stopped it. Now, the pre-khutbah, yes.
Regarding the meaning of al-kitab, there have been a number of interpretations about three, I think. But there are other areas in the Quran where kitab specifically refers to Quran. Other interpretations, like the Lauh al-Mahfuz, that's what Allah called the Lauh. And so this kitab, I think it refers to Quran. Because it can't have any other meaning.
No, here he says that here it could have the three meanings, even though, as he said, as-sahih, the authentic opinion is that it is the Quran, which means that the other opinions, they are not sahih, so he doesn't sanction them. But in other places, as you rightly said, in other places in the Quran, where it is mentioned, it has only one meaning, which is the Quran, and he cited the verse of Sajda, Tanzilul Kitabi La Riba Fihi Min Rabbil Alamin. Then there one, because its revelation is mentioned, it can't be Lauhul Mahfuz. And also Kitab Fil Ma'ida, Inna Anzalna Ilayka Al-Kitaba Bil Haqqi Musaddiqan Lima Bayna Yadayhi Min Al-Kitabi Wa Muhaiminan Alayhi. That one is just the Quran. Yes. إياكم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. The mother of our brother Noura is ill and she is in ICU. We ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to give her health. اللهم اشفها واشف مرضانا اللهم اشفها واشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا وعاف مبتلانا وانصرنا على من عادانا اللهم أعيننا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها عمدها وخطأها سرها وعلانيتها أولها وآخرها وكل ذلك عندنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.